Welcome. There's been a lot in the air, a lot of revelation people are getting. It was phenomenal last Sunday night at Deep Roots, just all the things that the Lord was showing people and giving to people. In the last couple of weeks, Dan Piper has been getting some downloads of revelation. He sent them to me the other day you have that. It's the one with the little fiery thing on top, but it's a series of three revelation that he's gotten recently. And I asked him to come and share the significance of it because it is so encouraging. So many times you hear things that are kind of vague and nondescript, and it could apply a lot of different ways, but the things that he's been seeing from the Lord are really encouraging. So Dan, why don't you come up and just share with people a little bit about what you're seeing and how it's impacted you, the message that you have for Evangel.
Well, as Jeff said, he typed it up for me, and it looks like this out front. I'm not going to read it because you all can read. I'm going to try to tell you the excitement that I had while I was seeing these things and what was going on. Just little snippets you can read. But I was coming down from Centralia down the freeway, and as I crossed the Cowlitz River, I seen an escalator. An escalator going up, escalator coming down. Wounded angels going up, whole angels coming back down. Ever had an angel visit you? Yeah. Ever have one come and talk to you? Well, I had one come and talk for just a brief at that time. He says, thank you for the worship that you have in Longview area. Then he went off with his army of angels. Thank you. Yeah. Little picture. About a week later, I was going to the coast. About where Bradley Park is, going up the hill from Wana there. I seen angels coming from the west to the east. And once again, another one of them come and talk to me, and he said, these are my elite warriors. He said, you'd call them the Delta Force or SEAL Team 6. And when I draw that conclusion, that's the best of the best of the best that we have. The best of the best of the best that they have. He says, there's an opening here in the valley. And they were sneaking into the valley, two by two, you know, belly crawling through the mud. You get the picture. You know, if I could have been driving and jumping for joy at the same time, you know, I don't recommend that. And then 3 weeks ago, I was standing over here in the corner, about the spot I usually do. And all of a sudden, standing next to me was an angel again. He said, introduced himself as Gabriel. Yeah. And, you know, over the years, I've learned quite a bit. But when the angel Gabriel comes to talk to you, listen, you know, listen. You know, in the strength, you know, he just started visiting, you know, chatting away, and I'm going, you know, sometimes I can just be so stupid. So he asked him, why me? Why are you here talking with me? Anyone ever think that? Yeah, don't raise your hands. That make you in the same boat as me. And he said, I asked the Lord Jesus if I could come and deliver this to you. He was going to, but he gave me the honor. I'm glad the wall was there, because I about fell over into and through the wall. And he started talking. Have you ever seen an excited angel? I mean, he was bouncing off the walls. If he was running, he'd been doing laps around the building, you know, kind of swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. Okay. And he starts telling me, to tell the body, the part of the body gathering at Evangel. And he's going saying, we are seeing a great increase in love. The depth of the connection between us. Now, you got to remember, the Lord Jesus is going to deliver this, but gave the Gabriel the honor. So the we would be the message that Jesus was talking. We see the depth of the connection. Your worship is as loving and sincere as any that we have experienced. You ever see a short, fat kid cry? I mean, it was good, but it was a mess at the same time. I'm glad I wasn't wearing mascara. I'd have the stripes like that. Well, you will experience the openness of heaven more than I, Gabriel, have ever seen. And then he started talking about the body here. He says, in the body, there are two that walk as Moses, Paul, Peter, with the authority to speak as ambassadors for the Lord. Oh, boy. One is Gideon, the mighty man of valor. A Joshua. One's as Anna. Three as Anna and Mary. Just to love the Lord. Two Marthas, one like John the Beloved, one that he calls friend. John the Baptist, and one moving like Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And I'm going, oh God, why are you telling me this? I'll come up and share this and need another box of Kleenex. I already just about used one this morning. So then he said, there is one who walks in the humble authority as James, the respected leader of the church. The one who walked with his brother along the path. He says, we're not comparing, which I thought was interesting. He said, these are the attributes. The attributes, the giftings that we see in the portion of the body here. Wow. They, the Godhead, they, the angels, see that here. What an exciting thought. And I thought, we're done. Good, I can stop crying. He continued on. The prophetic moves greatly here. More will hear and see. All can see. But then he went on, there are three, as Elijah, Elisha, and John, with the full power of the prophetic. Can you picture having people with the authority of Peter and Paul, with people having the authority of Elijah and John? And then he just sent me for a loop. Not that I was all there anymore, but he says, this is not including all the gifting. This is just the ones I'm permitted to reveal to you at this time. And he goes, let me share who they are. Let me reveal to them who that I see fit into this part of the body here. He added that here there are two as David, able to enter into the throne room with pure worship. I'm going. Then he started saying, but it's not here alone. It's throughout the whole body in the valley. The whole body in the valley. Intimacy is the key. Intimacy with the Lord is the key. The body in the valley will grow together as one. Totally in love with the Lord. Then I started hearing, as I'm standing over here, I started hearing, holy, holy, holy. And then I heard the angels join in, saying, holy, holy, holy. And then it got fuller, and I realized that it was the people of the valley. Holy, holy, with the angels, with the heavenly host. Holy, holy, holy. What a picture. Yeah. What a picture. And then the last thing Gabriel said, he said, I have never been this excited except when announcing the birth of Jesus. Think of all the things you read about Gabriel announcing. Think about all the things. I have never been this excited. That was it. I was done. If you've been there, you know what I mean. Done. And then a little later that night, you know, we had to take our Gabriel down to the hospital. Came back, and I got to here in town coming through. He says, I am on the move in the body residing in the Cowlitz Valley. An explosion of my love is here. Love has arrived as in the valley of dry bones. My breath is blowing, blowing, blowing. Life, peace, and love to the people of the valley. Then he paused for a second and he says, and beyond. So, what I want you to do, okay, is I want you to read, okay, and I want you to listen. Because I can tell you without reservation that I'm not the only one seeing and hearing this. I am not the only one in this body, a part of the body, in the community. The Lord is speaking to all of us. Amen. Amen. Close.
Told you couldn't do it.
Close.
It's just a lot to this. Thank you, Dan. When you see him standing over there, no, stuff's going on. You know, like, I can't tell you, probably every time that we gather together, he comes over to me and just says, this is what I see. This is what I hear. And a lot of you are getting that stuff, too. It's pretty exciting. Let me just make one comment about the hotel and what's going on over there. It looks on the outside like an event. This is not an event. This is something that the Lord's doing that we're stewarding, and it's best that we steward it well. And so we're trying to steward it as well as possible. You've sown into that. Many of you have sown into that personally. And so I'm just saying that what Dan shared and what's happening at the hotel are related. The encouragement's coming. And I don't know why. I really encourage you to come and be part of it. But more than that, I encourage you to tell the people that you know to come, especially people that have been here in the city for a while. One of the things the Lord shared with me this morning is there's going to be more people who are not saved there than they are the church there. And it's going to be because the excitement of the people who are in the church are just telling, they're just telling their neighbors and friends, there's this thing going on at the hotel. They're reopening the hotel. You don't have to tell them it's a worship service at all. Just tell them that they're reopening the hotel and we're part of that. We wanted to see that happen and we're excited to see that happen. Because we have a destiny as a community that goes back into the past. That location is part of our destiny. It's not our destiny, but it's part of it. And as we go forward, this is a launch pad for what God wants to do in the future. And there's exciting things going on there. Nancy found a copy of the original program that they had on the dedication service. That was the dedication of the hotel, but also the dedication of the city itself. On July 14th, 1923, she found an original copy of that. And so we've made it into a booklet that's going to be available to everybody that comes that night. And it's got the menu of what they served, the people who spoke. The people who spoke was amazing. It was like the mayor of Portland, the mayor of Seattle, the governor of Oregon, the governor of Washington. They all spoke here. And Nancy had also found some things that said that R.A. Long's prophecy over this region, R.A. Long prophesied over this region that it would be the sixth largest city west of Kansas City at the time when he planted it. So any feelings you have, like when Dan was telling you this vision, that this information that this angel was giving him, and it seemed too grandiose, that's part of your DNA. Grandiose is part of your DNA because our vision, this is Longview, Vision City. Our long view that God has given us from here is bigger than any of us can comprehend. What's going to happen at the hotel is more, can have more impact than any of us realize now. Your prayers that you prayed this morning are going to have more impact than any of us realize in this room. So there's, I just say that to say that there's a lot more going on than any of us realize. None of us has it figured out, but all of us are included in remarkable ways. This is an amazing time to be alive here. Yeah.
They started out with an invocation, and they sang a hymn, and the hymn they sang was, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," and they ended the program by singing "America." And I just want to give credit to the Historical Museum for giving me the information.
Yeah, that's really cool. Patrick, can you pull up the song Alive in Longview? It's a song that was written by Marie's son, Aaron Lemire, when he was leading worship here at Evangel. And I was listening to it with Jody yesterday, and I feel like we're supposed to play that song at the event. Look at the words. This is on the back of the program for the event. It has Psalm 67. Which is the psalm that was spoken over our city by Billy Sunday. Look at the words to this song. You may not know that psalm. It's pretty short, but "You're the great I am, the God of mercy. You hold us in your hand. You're the God of hope." Go ahead to the next screen. "You bring shelter to the homeless. You give clothing to the needy. You're help to the helpless. So where are you? Here you are, the Lamb of God. Here you are. Let your spirit reign. Here you are, alive in Longview, to show you're the King of everything. Will you give us the nations? Will you come give us the nations?" That's Psalm 97. "Will you come give us the lands of the lost who cry, where are you?" That's it. So we're going to make some, we're going to pray over the city at that event. We're going to make some declarations over the city. One of the declarations is, can you go back one screen? You're King of everything. One of the declarations, this is written on the sheets that we're going to declare over the city, is we declare that Jesus is King. We are kingdom people with a kingdom vision, living with kingdom expectations of on earth as it is in heaven. So it unfolds. Everything unfolds. If you follow the Lord, if you follow the Lord's leading, if you're a person who listens to him and wants to go where he's going and not just asking him to bless what you're doing, if you're following him, everything always unfolds. It unfolds before you. And you always have the willing, you have the option of saying no or yes to what God's unfolding in front of you. And one of the exciting things to me about being a Christian leader is it's just about saying yes. Never saying no to God. Just saying yes to wherever he takes you, wherever he leads you, whatever he has for you. That's the way, that's what this congregation's been doing for the last 26 years, is trying to say yes to God. And that's where we're going to go. That's our vision for the future. That's the vision of the city. And I can feel God's grace upon this because we're saying yes to what he wants to do and not just trying to put on an event or not just trying to be the center of attention in the city like the little kid who's insecure and wants everybody to pay attention to him. That's not the church in this city. The church is more mature than that. The church is more loving and caring than that. The church is alive in Longview. That's why this is important.
The first four lines of "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name" that was at the dedication. "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." It's the King and it's the angels. It's all.
Yeah. See, and this is the way that God leads. This is the way he works. That's why I say the most important thing we can do as Christians in this day and this time is just pay attention. Just watch. Pay attention to what's going on. Like, even bringing this out into the open, it stirs up things in people because you're paying attention to even what I'm, you're tracking with what I'm saying. You're paying attention to what I'm saying. Not that what I'm saying is not all that important, but we're going together. None of us can do this alone. We're going to look back at this event, and it's going to be a remarkable event, and you're not going to be able to point your finger at one person and say they did it. because the Lord's orchestrating things. You know, even I've asked Jerry to play the Abba drum that we have here. That's a unity drum of the city during our prayers, just in the background. Even little things like that, where you create a context for what God wants to do in the future, is pretty exciting. So anyway, so I have like 5 minutes for a message. probably, but would be foolish to try to do that right now. I can wait till next week. I just want to say that where we're going with this message, it's pretty remarkable. The Lord is showing me that we have a lot to learn, and he wants to continue to prepare us. So part of that preparation is just letting us become the people we've created to be, you know, letting us become who he wanted us to be before we were born. And I think there's a lot more to come. I don't think we've finished this race at all. I'm not done. I hope you're not done. I know. So I started looking at Jesus. Well, I started thinking about this idea of what it would be like to be on a road trip with Jesus. What it would be like to be traveling with him on the road. And if you're with somebody on the road, if you're on a road trip, you learn a lot about the people you're with. You see a lot of things that you wouldn't see if you just were casually in a relationship with them. But if you're living with them and working with them and playing with them and eating with them and sleeping with them, you see things and experience things that you wouldn't necessarily if you weren't. So I thought, what would it be like to be on a road trip with Jesus? What will we learn? And how could we be prepared by this whole process? So if you look at Luke chapter 4 through 9, that's when Jesus makes a transition in his ministry. Just look for a second with me at, and I'll just share this with you, that block that I spent 3 hours creating, because, not because I wanted to impress you, but because I wanted to understand what was going on. Because I realized that in Jesus' ministry, which was about 3 years, the first whole year, Luke doesn't even mention anything that Jesus did. He doesn't mention anything that he did. That's in the section we're studying today. And I'm like, why? Luke is like the master investigator. He's the guy who was interviewing everybody to find out what the ministry of Jesus was like, because he wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't traveling with Jesus, so he had to write his gospel based upon what he heard from the other disciples. And he completely ignores the first year of Jesus' ministry, except to say this. Then Jesus returned to the Galilee. This is after Jesus was baptized. And you can see on that little map, the bottom arrow where it says Jericho and then Bethany beyond the Jordan, that's the place where he was baptized. He was baptized in the southern part. Then he goes up into the northern part of Galilee, and he spends a year doing ministry there. And all it says about that year that he was doing ministry is reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. That's what Luke had to say about a year of Jesus' ministry. And then he comes back down to Nazareth after that, and that's where we're going to start in Luke 4. And he begins to minister in his hometown of Nazareth, and everything just kind of blows up. He gets actually shoved up. They try to shove him off a cliff, and supernaturally he turns around and walks back through them all. But they wanted to kill Jesus at that point. He's popular for a year. Nobody wanted to harm him, and all of a sudden this crowd in his hometown wanted to kill him. Why? What's going on here? What would it have been like to be with Jesus for a year doing ministry? Now, he hadn't called the disciples yet, but what would it have been like to travel with him for a year and watch him do miracle after miracle after miracle and have these amazing sermons and preach and deliver people and raise dead people? And then he comes back to his hometown, and just one thing that he says, which is a quote out of Isaiah, flips him out, and they want to shove him off a cliff and kill him. Why? What's going on there? What do you learn from that? And so I think, you know, I'll share a little bit more of that next week, but the whole idea with this road trip thing is every week I want to share some of the story of what Jesus did in this region of Galilee when he went there and did ministry. He healed some people. He had some messages. In this first section, he goes back to his hometown and he reads from Isaiah. They hand him a scroll. He looks at the scroll, finds the place, the only place where the scripture speaks first person. He pulls out the scroll and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's reading this to people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He's reading scripture that's in first person about him that they handed to him. He didn't ask him for that scroll. They just handed him a scroll. He pulls out Isaiah and he starts reading about himself. How would you have responded to that? What would that stir up? Dan talked about freaking out over here in the corner about an angel speaking to him. What would you do if you saw Jesus pull out a scroll and read about himself and he says, today, this is true. Today, it's happening today. What would happen to you? And then he gets attacked in his own hometown with people who are supposed to love him, know him and love him. They turn and attack him. They turn and start throwing things at him, and they start pushing him towards a cliff and want to kill him because of what he says. Well, one of the things that's happening right now that I didn't know about until I created that big block of information was that John the Baptist had just been imprisoned. So for that first year of Jesus' ministry up in the Galilee, John the Baptist was ministering down, or he was ministering down in the Jordan where he baptized Jesus. So there was a lot of ministry going on, some conflict going on. But finally, the leader of the Roman Empire that was in that region got tired of it all and he put him in prison. And that's a fascinating story too. But I think what was happening at this juncture was John the Baptist was going into prison. Jesus was coming back to his hometown, and there was a critical point at which there was a shift in everything at that point. Everything shifted. This is a year into Jesus' ministry. Everything shifts. This is just my impression, but what I think was happening was there was a shift that brought Jesus' message not just to the Jews, but it was opening it up to the Gentiles at that point. Everybody thinks that Paul got that vision and he was the one who stirred up the heart of God to reach out to the Gentiles. I think actually this is the point at which Jesus was ready to reveal who he was to not only Jewish people, but Gentiles as well. And it just infuriated the Jewish people. It infuriated them because they thought they were the only people. They thought they were the cream of the crop. They were the best of the best, and no one was going to get what really was going to come from God but them. They were going to get it first, and they were going to get it most, and they were going to get it best. And when Jesus stood up and said, no, I'm going to go to the poor, I'm going to go to the homeless, I'm going to go to those foreigners, I'm going to go to the people who don't deserve it, it infuriated them. All that I'm saying, because if we start claiming anything that God does in this valley, it's going to corrupt it. If we start taking credit for anything that doesn't belong to us in this valley, I mean, we may become the most prophetic people in the whole Northwest in this valley, but if we start marketing that and showboating that and putting that on stage for people to see, if we start becoming prideful in that, it's going to wreck what God does, wants to do in this city. He wants to do something that's pure and undefiled here, so we have to keep our hands off of it. So this whole thing at the hotel, it's not Evangel, it's not me, it's not you, it's not us. It's him. What he is going to do there is not just going to touch the church, because we're gathering the church together to worship. But one of the things I've told the worship leaders is, I don't want you to lead these people in worship. I want you to worship in front of these people. Because there's going to be lots of people there who aren't Christians. They're not part of the worship team. They're not part of the worshiping group. But what they're going to see is they're going to see a people who admire God for what he's doing in their city. That's what I want them to see. I want them to see a people who have such high honor for God and what he's doing in Longview right now. It's that song that we read. The song was written, I don't know, like 12 years ago. It's buried. No one ever does it. I've done it a couple times, but I don't know of anybody else who sings that song. And it's a song for us. It's a song for Longview. It's a song that was written for this place. And it was a song that was written when a guy was coming out of terrible stuff in his life and being redeemed. It's a song of redemption for an individual, but I think it's also a song of redemption for a region, for a city. But I just want to firmly warn you, do not grab a hold of this stuff. Don't grab a hold of it. Let it be what it is. But be excited about what God's doing in your city. Be excited about what he's doing in your life. Be excited about what he's doing in your church. You can be excited about that. But it's nothing that we should grab a hold of and say, look at what we're doing. Look at who we are. Look at what we've accomplished. There's a certain hiddenness that God wants us to maintain. It's really, really important. It may be the reason why he's kept us kind of small in numbers over the years is because he was doing something in us at this size that he couldn't do, and or would he could do anything he wants, but it would be different if we were a different size, a different makeup people. Oh, we went over to Marie Dancy-Star's house yesterday to pray for her house. I was so amazed at the level of in giftedness of the people that were there. They brought, it was like they brought this huge basket of blessing to Marie. I'm so excited to be part of this church. I'm so excited to be part of what God's doing right now. I don't ever want to walk away from the things that they're in the midst of just beginning to explode all around us. And I think that's going to happen in the city. And there's no reason in the natural to believe that at all. But in the place of greatest darkness, the light's going to shine really, really bright. And that's where we're heading. Don't be freaked out about what we're not. Be freaked out about missing what we'll become. That's what we should focus our attention on is becoming everything that God wants us to be. And so, getting back to this road trip thing, what we're going to do at the end of every gathering is we're going to spend the last portion of time activating people into the things that God wants them to be. Like, if you were on a road trip with Jesus, and you saw him do amazing things, like you saw him almost get pushed off a cliff by the people in his own hometown, his friends and family, and then he walks through the crowd, what would that do in you? What would that cultivate in you? How would that make you feel? For one, you'd feel like, this guy's worth hanging around. I mean, wherever this guy goes, I want to go with him because he seems to be able to handle almost any kind of onslaught. You know, the toughest group of people to share Jesus with, your faith with, is your family, right? And your friends and your coworkers. That group of people is the hardest group. So in the time we have left, we have some time. I just want to activate you. And what I mean by that is I just want to pray for you and release in you the grace to share your faith with people who are the closest to you. And I expect it to change. I expect it to change. When we see what Jesus can do in his own hometown, remarkable things with the scripture, remarkable things with signs and wonders, remarkable testimony. What is there anything that God can't do through you with your family? And the one thing the Lord shared me with this is we've got to stop trying to keep score of how many people we get saved. That has not done us any favors over the last 40 years when the church is focused on salvation as points, you know, that we get from God. We get more people we get saved, the more points we get. That's not what it's about. What it's about is love. We've got to love well. We've got to love thoroughly. We've got to love with aggressiveness. You'll get more accomplished, and I just say this unequivocally, you'll get more accomplished with your friends and family and coworkers by loving them than you will with by sharing the gospel and getting them saved. God can save them anytime he wants. But he's called us to sow into them and sow seed into them and keep loving them and keep loving them and keep loving them. Do things for them. Serve them. Give them your heart. I've seen a restoration of my relationship with my brother that was never there before. And all it is just allowing myself to love him. And I've seen restoration happen in that relationship. I haven't tried to get him to come to church. I haven't tried to get him to change his life. All I've done is just accept him and love him. And I've done a pretty poor job of that. But it's enough to change things. Things have changed in my relationship with him just because I loved him. And I just say that because the key to this activation is not figuring out how to share the gospel with somebody. The key is how to be free to love people right where they're at. Because everything is going to change in this valley. Everything is going to change here. So if you would, I just want to activate you in that. Would you stand up right where you're at? And don't be afraid. I'm not going to make your life worse by whatever I pray. I mean, what we're going to pray is that God would activate love in us. If you've ever felt like it was hard to tell your friends and your family and coworkers about Jesus, you're in good company in this room right now. Some of you may be really good at it, but it's the minority. Most of us feel hindered and held back by that. And part of it is because of this curse of having to get everybody saved around us. Everybody needs, what you saw Jesus do was, he never led people to himself. He loved them right where they were at. Somebody's going to come along with the gift of evangelism and sweep them off their feet and get them into the kingdom. I'm sure there's people in the room who are going to be those people. But everyone is called to love. So Lord, I just pray for us. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. In the same way, if you would have watched Jesus do all this stuff and you want what he has, you want to get what he has, just let it happen. I pray for a release now of everything that has bound love in our hearts. Every criticism that we've had of other people, every skeptical thought we've had of other people, every judgment we've made against others. And today, Lord, I pray for the power to release those judgments. Everything that we've judged that has kept us from loving. And even the things the church has put on us, having to know what's good and bad and right and wrong. Lord, release us today from those things. Release us from everything that has caused us to judge things and judge people and judge systems and judge you, God. Forgive us for judging you because you didn't do what we wanted you to do, which a lot of times was nothing more than just get our friends and family to come to church. Forgive us for setting the sight so low, Lord. We want to raise the bar today. We want to raise the bar up above salvation to love. We want to learn to love well. We want to, especially this week, this coming week, we want to hear testimony after testimony of people who loved well and saw things shift, saw the world shift around them. Just hold out your hands if you can. Lord, I pray for a cleansing of our hands right now. I know that everybody has to be responsible for their own judgment, their own sin, the things that they've done. But Lord, together we want to just say, wash us and cleanse us, Lord. Wash us and cleanse us of the way we've judged people, the criticism we've had of people. Especially where we've said, some are in and some are out. Some are good, some are bad. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse our hands. Cleanse our hands, Lord. Wash over them. Wash over us. And I just declare over us as a people, there's nothing stopping us from love. There's nothing that can stop us from love. Read Romans 8 again. There's nothing that's going to stop us from doing what you've called us to do, Lord. We're a new people. We've been freshly set free to do the things you've called us to do. Now look, just take a moment and let the Lord begin to give you pictures of people in your mind who he's going to get. This is just a treat from him. These are the people God's going to give you the grace to love. It may be your family, maybe your friends, maybe your spouse, maybe your children, probably going to be your coworkers. Lord, just show us who it is you want to love. Show us who it is you want to love, Lord. Who is it you want to love? Be patient. This is not a list of things to do. These people are not a list of things to do. There are people who he loves, and he's going to begin to love through you. Love them through you in remarkable ways. Thank you, Lord. One more thing. You can have a seat. One more thing. And I hope you take this right. I hope you take this the right way. But what is a tribe? Jerry, what's a tribe?
Describe what a tribe is.
It's community. It's family. It's relationship. It's being centered on Ochichas, I am. That we follow the Great Spirit. A tribe is a community that respects each other, that honors elders, and help to raise the children around them. So we do everything together. That's kind of what we do. That's what we do as a tribe.
Cool. So the people who live in this valley are a tribe. We don't act like it much, but we're a tribe. God wants to increase the tribe. He wants to increase the size of this tribe. He wants to increase the size of this tribe, but he also wants to increase the size of the tribe. And a tribe is just a group of people who travel together. It's not a people who live together in the same town. It's people who are on a journey together. We're on a journey together with people. And he wants to increase that. So he may want to increase he may want to call the people into the tribe, the people that are sitting next to you at work. It may be your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle or your brother or sister that he's calling to increase the tribe with. Don't let anything stop you from being part of that process. And I really believe that there's a breakthrough today. Every single week we're going to go through this kind of activation. And by the time that it's Luke 4:14 through 9:50, you know how many teachings are in that? I do. Because I've got them all laid out for that whole section. 27 teachings. After 27 weeks of hearing what Jesus has done and what it would be like to walk with him and what we would have learned from him, we're going to be different people. It's part of the preparation God has for us. And so he said, prepare for the return of Jesus. That's what the Lord said to us almost 7 years ago now. I think we're well on our way on this journey together, but it's time for the tribe to increase. It's time for our families to journey with us, for our friends to journey with us. I don't care how weird these people are or what they've done in the past or how disqualified you think they are. Watch the shack. The Father loves people. He loves these people, irregardless of how qualified we think they are to be church members. He loves people. He loves people. Lord, I just lift this group of people up to you, and I pray that today, through the worship, through the prayer, through the ministry, through the revelation that Dan shared and through the things that I've just shared, I pray that what's come out of that, the fruit that comes out of this today, would be hearts that are changed, hearts that are ready to love at a level we've never loved before. And I'm including myself. I have so much greater expectation for my love or your love flowing through me than ever before. We do pray for this weekend because this Friday seems like it really is a time of celebration. It's a time when we can celebrate together as a city. And I want the city council there. I want the commissioners from the county there. I want employees there. I want people from churches that would never plan on going there as a congregation, but individually people are being called there. And I do pray that the group that meets on Friday, more would be out than in. More would be waiting to come into the kingdom than those that are already in the kingdom. Lord, let it be a time of great hope being released over our city. Great hope, Lord. Let great hope come. Amen. I do need a little bit of help. If somebody's got a little time, I need to put, I've got everything printed. I just need to put these little booklets together, and there's 200 of them, so I don't have a whole lot of time to do that. But if somebody has a little time, they can come in here for a couple hours and just do that. Just let me know after this. Otherwise, you guys are free to go. We beat the kids today. It's a miracle. Bless you guys. In Jesus' name, bless you.